The idea is if you can look at something objectively and from a distance and so ask yourself simply, what is this saying? And then just say that, then look at what you've written and say, okay, are there any problems with this legally? And if there's not, then, you know, you've done a great job.
Welcome to the Legal Creatives Podcast, where we'll be bringing you the greatest and the most inspirational concepts and projects and discuss some of the most powerful ideas for the transformation of the legal industry. This podcast is brought to you by Legal Creatives, the school for the transformation of legal services. Welcome to the show.
Today, I'm with an extraordinary guest because he has superpowers in plain language. I got to meet him on LinkedIn. I was really, really stunned by the way he was redrafting complex language into really concise sentences. And so I decided to invite Andrew Pergler to talk about plain language, all things plain language, how can it be relevant for organizations, also how can lawyers leverage plain language, and talk a little bit about his experience and his work in the field. So thank you so much, Andrew, for tuning in from Melbourne, Australia.
It's an absolute delight, Tessa, and it's lovely to meet you digitally, in person, if that's even possible. I don't know, but that's good to have done. Although we've been in contact over LinkedIn in various forms over the years, and I've always been very interested in the sort of work that you've been doing and the personality that you've carved out. And thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thank you so much, Andrew, for those good words. I can't wait to dive more into the topic. But before, let's get to know you a little bit better. Can you tell us a little bit, what exactly do you do? What kind of projects do you work on or organization you work with? So we get to know a little bit more about you to get this started.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm Melbourne-based, but we work with clients all over the world. I have a business rather creatively named Andrew Pergler Media, and I specialize originally with just, I mean, really our shtick, I guess you'd call it, is just simply plain English. We also design, so we actually write and design, and we do a bit of strategic communications, but really the main route throughout the last 20 or so years has just been plain English is the most consistent thing that we've done. We work with a lot of banking, a lot of government, a lot of legal lines. So we'll take a particularly, you know, let's say they want to engage the public with something that's a bit complicated and they want to put it into terms that people can understand. They'll come to us and they'll say, look, can you put this into language that is more accessible, that doesn't alienate the audience, but it says exactly the same thing. And so our role is to sort of get inside the head of the person who might be reading this and to think about what their limitations or their interest, general interest are, or what knowledge they bring to something, and then write according to that description and edit the material they're provided according to that description. We also do write from scratch, blogs and other things. So it's a mix, but the end result is always clear, plain, simple, easy to understand, and sometimes even a little bit funny, because I quite like a bit of funny, English. When they allow us, it's very rare, but we occasionally are allowed by clients to throw a few jokes in because they want to differentiate themselves in a way.
I may ask a question on that on in the interview, because I find it really interesting, you know, how to balance funny with also serious subject matters. But it's already so interesting what you say about, you know, putting yourself in the head of the audience, understanding their limitation, their knowledge. Super interested to know, even in the first place, Andrew, what got you inspired to work in this field? It's very niche, plain language, right? And and what are some of the memorable experiences you've had in this field? Because I'm sure there must be some really exciting things happening. I mean, I don't know, exciting, at least for me, I love language. And I think the audience, most of them are lawyers. I do think they love language too, right?
Well, I think, look, it's not everyone that does love language, but I think probably we share that love. And I love with language. I love thinking about it. I love etymology, you know, which is the origination of words and where words come from. One of my great regrets is that I didn't study Latin, and I wish I did, because it would have opened the world up to so many understandings of where English comes from. Anyway, to answer your question, I've always been very keen to remove things of their self-importance and their burden and their self-importance, because I sort of think that the less overloaded something is with its own weight and maybe its own self-importance, and I don't mean to say that in a derogatory way, the more accessible it is for the general public. And I'm always very keen on the idea that everyone should be able to understand everything. People shouldn't be alienated by language. Language should be an inclusive process. It should be something that everyone can enjoy or everyone can access. Everyone should have equal access to understanding whatever it is that they're reading, whether it's, you know, particularly in the areas of the law, whether it's a government policy that might relate to their lives, or whether it's a banking or superannuation plan. They should be able to understand it. They shouldn't be befuddled. It's just not fair. And so I guess I'm on somewhat of a a crusade, if you like, to bring clarity to the world and to allow people to have equal access. And
so how do you define plain language, and maybe what are some of the misconceptions that people have around plain language?
Well, I mean, I put it very simply, plain language or plain English. I mean, I guess it's the same thing. Of course, plain English in Brazil is not, it'd be plain Portuguese. So let's just call it plain language for the purposes of today's discussion. The best way to describe it was simply just that if someone can read something that you've written, or even visually, if someone can see something that you've created, like an infographic, no matter what it is, if they can understand what's going on pretty much at first glance or at first reading, then you've achieved your outcome, which is clarity and access to information. In this case, I deal with words, so it's plain English. So in my case, if someone can read something that I've written and understand it at first reading and in the way that the writer wants them to, then I've achieved the goal of plain language. And that can often take the place of, let's say, a form where people have got to follow some steps, and it gets very confusing and no one can really understand what's going on. You know, I very much like to engineer documents so they're very easy for people to understand. So plain language for me is just creating something that's easily read, easily understood at first reading, and that gives everyone access. And sorry, there was a second question.
Yeah, so what about the misconceptions that you encounter in your work? Maybe someone is asking you for plain English, do people already have an idea of what they want or what it is, or do you run into misunderstanding around plain English, or is it clear right from the start for everyone what is plain English?
Everyone knows what it is, which is, like, you know, better written and clearer, but not everyone quite understands how far you can actually take this. You can actually make it quite significantly clearer without losing any of the original wording or any of the original intent, or importantly for your, in the case of your audience, the legal rigor, the importance of the legal language, because of course legal language is binding. I always like to say that by making something simpler, you're not dumbing it down, you're just making it accessible. but you you have to always consider that there are, every word's important, particularly in the law and particularly with government stuff. So you've got to somehow re-engineer and rewrite and re-edit by making sure that everything remains the same, but it's all different, if you know what I mean. So it's sort of a funny trick, and it takes a fair bit of thinking and a fair bit of work, and that's the challenge.
And wouldn't it be easier just to write in plain English, right from the start? I guess it would be so much easier, right?
Look, I guess it would, but I always like to think that, look, there's many, many, the list of things that I'm bad at is, you know, extensive, right? But the one thing I can do is I'm not a bad writer, okay? So that's one saving grace in my life, I can write, right? I'm not very good at many other things. So being able to write is just one of those things you can naturally do well, and some people can't find it a bit more of a challenge. That said, I think while not everyone is gifted or everyone is
anyone is keen on learning the skill maybe as well, right?
Yeah, I think this is the thing. Not everyone has the talent to be able to write. Like, I can't play golf, and there's a lot of things I can't do. As I said, the list of things I can't do is extensive, right? But the one thing I can do is I can write okay. So the what I would say is, while everyone, not everyone can maybe write really well, everyone can actually learn to write simply, because that's a technique. It's almost an algorithm, right? So I do a lot of training. We train all the time. So, you know, we just give people tips and techniques, and I've got 8 rules for plain English, and we roll through them and you learn the basics of what to leave out. It's like good jazz. Good jazz is about the notes you don't play. And same with writing. It's about what you can understand to leave out without taking away the meaning, or let's say the mood of the music. Then that's the secret. I think that to succeed as a writer, you don't need to be, you know, a Tolstoy, but you've got to have a sincere desire to inform. And if you have that, it will override so many things. But also, if you have a basic understanding of the techniques, which we can discuss a little bit as we go through, then that will be of great assistance.
I love that metaphor. Just a quick break to let you know that if you enjoy today's episode, you're also going to love our blog. We have a collection of articles, interviews, insightful pieces that you can read, and videos you can watch to learn more about these exciting topics. And talking about plain language, we just released on the blog a new section called Preventive and Proactive Law, which is so complementary to the topic you're listening today. So feel free to head over to legalcreatives.com/blog to take a look at those insightful articles. You can search by keywords, you can navigate through the different categories and start implementing some additional tips, strategies, and insights in your daily practice. Now let's get back to the interview. So what are some of the benefits of using plain English for organizations, for the end user, the audience, and maybe also let's talk about lawyers, since the audience that we have are mostly legal professionals. And also, I think to some extent, some of them are working in the government. So what do you see as the main benefits from your experience?
Let's just take law, because it's probably more relevant. You know, the notion of trust, as you would understand, trust is something, it's quite hard to earn, but it's very easy to lose. And the nature of law is that the language is quite befuddling to most people, because it's often archaic, and it's often exhaustive, as you say, because there's so many things that need to be covered off. And so when someone gets a document, let's say a contract, and you're a clothing retailer, and you get a leasing contract, and you look at it, and you just got no idea what it's saying, then you immediately, there's a sense of mistrust. You're defensive. So one of the things that plain language does, particularly in the area of the law, is it introduces an element more of trust in the profession, the institution, the mechanism of the law, where people don't feel like they're being talked to in a foreign language. It's sort of an irony that law was something that was created to benefit people, but it can sometimes now, in a way, almost divide people. So to answer your question directly, the advantages to, let's say, the law is that clear language can engender a sense of trust, but importantly, can also mean that people understand what you want them to do. So there isn't problems, or there isn't legal issues. So you're not endangering people. You're making it very clear what they need to do. So that would be, I think, the main advantage for the law. And there are many other advantages, let's say, for commerce. So if you're a bank or a superannuation firm and you're communicating clearly, then people are going to gravitate towards you because they understand what you're saying. And it's like a friend who you understand what they're saying, you sort of tend to enjoy talking to them more, other than someone who talks in a way that might be unfamiliar.
Yeah, I like that. I like that very much. I think in some ways I've used that in the like content creation, like always trying to think about how can I make this concept easier for the people to understand it.
Yeah.
And well, by them understanding it, of course, it creates an opportunity for a connection or a relationship to be made, a conversation. And, instead of, I think it's going back to what you said initially in the interview, like, you know, we may have important things to say, but we don't need to put all that, you know, bells and whistles and let's just go to the core of what we're trying to say. So I really like that. The trust as a benefit, avoid reducing problems and making sure that the target audience, you know, the message really gets across and people do what we expect them to do. So you've mentioned there are many techniques. You've mentioned you've got 8 sort of principles or rules for plain English. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of the key principles that you would recommend to be used and maybe some of the techniques? We don't need to go over through the 8, but maybe there's a couple that you believe could be really important, especially for lawyers who may want to use more of that and learn a bit from you, Andrew.
Yeah, oh, thank you. So, look, I won't go into the detail of the 8 because it'll take up too much time and people will just start falling asleep, and we don't want that. But let's just say that of the 8, one of the most important is to think about your audience. So if you're writing, you've got to, as best as you can, put yourself inside the head of the person that's going to be reading it. So often people will mistakenly be writing for either their boss or their colleagues or to impress or whatever. And we all do that. That's understandable. I get it. We all understand that. But actually, the most important thing you do in communications is to write for the person who's going to read it. And that is something often that gets lost. So don't speak down to them. Speak with them. Speak with them. Don't speak down to them. Don't speak up to them. Try and find a way in which you can speak up to them. The other thing I would say is there's a lot of jargon in the law, and if you can try and think about what you're saying and then simplify it and avoid that jargon, because people they didn't study law, they're not familiar with the all the different sort of techniques that lawyers have and the words, then it's really important to understand that you don't need that stuff. So, you know, whether it's, you know, notwithstanding anything to the contrary herein, you know, or subject to the foregoing henceforth, or, you know, including but in no way limited to its generality. You know, this sort of stuff, we don't need it really. You know, you think about it, lift yourself away from the moment and put yourself in the head of your, you know, graphic designer brother-in-law or your hairdresser sister or something like that, and think, okay, what do they think? You know, they would think that is just, they wouldn't even know where to start with that. They wouldn't understand it. You know, here to, here in, hitherto, here of, all those sort of words. You don't need those words. What a simpler way, what are they actually saying? That's the question you need to ask. What are those words saying? And how can I replace those words with simpler, more familiar language? So that, you know, for the law, that would be probably 2 of the most important tips that I would give. And then for people that are writing, let's say in the workplace, we're all time poor. So you might be writing an email to your boss, or you might be writing, an email to a client. There's sort of, I like to teach 3 different ways in which people can write for time poor people. And there's a technique called the inverted pyramid. So it's a pyramid that's like that. And you always put the most important thing first when you're writing an email or even a brochure or wherever it is, because it can easily be missed otherwise. You know, if it's a long email, then people can miss the most important thing. So put the most important things first. And then if you can break things into subheadings, it's really helpful because it's really good for scanning. And that it kind of, it's like a, you know, Goldilocks, like gingerbread, you know, through the forest, drops of gingerbread that create the path that formulate the narrative, so people can scan what you've written so they can understand where to go. And then the other thing that I would say finally with writing with time poor people is the use of bullet points. So if you've got a sentence which has got da 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 comma da 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 comma da 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 comma, it's bullet point time. You know, get rid of those commas, bullet point it. So people who are time poor can take a look at what you've written and they can scan it and they know what they're looking for. So I mean, as I said, I could talk forever about it, but there's just some points.
Those are really great ones. We like the bullet point ones. I think it's really practical and easy to implement. And the jargon as well, like replacing or even deleting the jargon, because do we really need the here off and here in? I'm not really sure.
I don't think we do. No.
I don't think we do, right? So I think it's about eliminating all the clutter and really going to the essential. So when we use plain English or, you know, plain Brazilian, plain Spanish, plain French, who knows, you know? How can we assess the quality of the communication? How can we know whether or not this is effective use of plain language?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have the answer. Do you have some cues?
Yeah, I think the test is whether or not, whether or not when you've got the document, let's say on the right-hand side, and you've got your plain language version on the left-hand side, if exactly the same thing is being said, but it's clearer, then you've been successful. And then you can test that on your audience. You could get a handful of people that might be in your audience and ask them, well, what does this mean? And if they can tell you what it means, then you've achieved your outcome.
Time for another quick break. If you also want to upskill yourself or your team using some of those methodologies, whether it's learning how to communicate more effectively through the use of clear language and the addition of visuals so that your document builds trust by enhancing clarity and also by increasing alignment on business goals and objectives, well, those are skills that you can learn. And at Legal Creatives, we run programs online that allow you to not only learn, but also to practice and to get feedback. The programs we run are online, 100% virtual, 100% hands-on, and the feedback we get is just incredible. I have no doubt you are going to love the experience of learning on the platform with the community from all over the world. And if you'd rather have a bespoke program just for your team, just reach out. It's a pleasure to help. Now, let's go back to the interview. Maybe it's a little bit of a simplistic question or maybe even some little stupid, but does this mean like plain English means reducing the text? Does it usually mean we're going to have less text after a plain language exercise?
Yeah, almost always. You should have less.
It should be less.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's already a good cue, right?
Yeah.
Making sure we have less text, actually. That's great. And I think the way you do it is just so, I have seen some of you work on social media because you do share a lot. And some of the text reduction that you do is pretty impressive, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, I just like it. Maybe there are some examples, I don't know, you may want to share as we continue exploring plain language. So we've discussed some of the principles and techniques, how to assess whether or not we have actually done a good job using plain language, plain English. How do we approach clients when they want to use plain language? What are the main reasons for organizations to want to use plain language? And what are some of the challenges that those organizations encounter in this process?
I think a number of things come into play. So often, let's say you've got a very large document, that it might be, we've just worked on a submission to Parliament for a government department here in Australia. And it was written by many different people. So it was in different styles and tones and flavors. And so we had to make sure that the whole document read in the one voice and that it was consistent in its use of style, like acronyms and the way percent was spelled or it was a symbol or not, so on and so forth. So that one of the things is that where you give it one voice, but also the one voice is clear and simpler and cleaner and in plain English. Then in other cases, we'll get, let's say superannuation for firms. We do a lot of superannuation firm work where they'll put an annual report out and they'll try and explain some of the reasons behind their investment decision throughout the year. And then we need to try and explain those in a simple way. I don't know if superannuation is a familiar term to you, but it's in America, I think it's 13K or whatever it is. It's basically the money you put away while you're working for your retirement. And in Australia, it's a mandated 9.5% of your wage. So it's a very, very big part of the economy in Australia. So it's very important that people and everyone is touched by it, that they understand what's going on there. So that's some of the access, that's some of the reasons why we need to use it or why people need to use it. But yeah, sorry, I hope that answers your question.
No, it's great. I love it. So really, documents that are really long, or they could, documents that we may want to have a unified kind of tone of voice or unified message, and also documents that are really critical because they, you know, people may have some concerns around what's happening. So we want to really clarify that information for them. When lawyers, since we have a big audience of legal professionals, are using, maybe you've trained lawyers, you've said you've worked with law firm, you're working with law firms and legal professionals. What do you see as some of the common challenges for lawyers, especially to apply plain language in practice?
Yeah.
And how do we overcome maybe that? You know, maybe there's a fear of missing the information. How do we overcome that? How do we make it easier for legal professionals to embrace that more direct, concise communication? Do you have some ideas or tips or practical guidelines?
I think it's there's a number of factors at play here. One of these is the legacy of the legal language. And there's very good reasons why law is expressed in a certain way, because every word has meaning and is important and carries outcomes. And people learn at law school to write in a certain way to ensure that whatever they write, there's not a skerrick of light that can come through that will endanger their client. And I understand that, but language is an ever-evolving creature. And at the moment, I think language, whether it's English, French, Portuguese, it's evolving at a hyperspeed. And the fear would be law doesn't want to be left behind and become archaic. And so it needs to move with the time. So it needs to be, take those, henceforth, hitherto's, or in its generality type vernacular, and find ways to say the same thing, but put it in a way that is familiar, because language nowadays is very different to what it was even 10, 15 years ago. And so the problem is there's a legacy that probably at university lawyers are taught to think and write in a certain way, it is by its nature a conservative profession, so it doesn't move rapidly because there are implications for changes in the law, but I think it needs to probably act fairly quickly in terms of expressing itself and being more accessible sooner rather than later. There are movements, obviously, within side of law towards that, but you know, it doesn't want to become alien. It doesn't want to become not irrelevant, but it wants to be. It needs to be relevant, and it needs to be familiar, not alien to people.
It's so interesting that we may not even realize language is evolving so fast, because it's happening, you know, as I guess social media, technology, the emojis, you know, this part of language too, isn't it? So we don't even realize it's changing, but it's so true what you have just said, Andrew, like the law, the way we are being taught at law school, it's really always looking back at the precedent and the previous books from previous academics, which were basing themselves on previous case law and jurisprudence. And so it's always looking back. So obviously we're always bringing back the words from the past to qualify a specific situation or a legal concept. But for people, it doesn't really, you know, make sense for them, because those words are no longer used, actually. So what are some of the strategies we can use to ensure that the communication is legal communication is clearer, more comprehensive, you know, concise, precise? Is it possible to do all of that and to still be exhaustive? Is it possible, or is it a myth that we either have to use that complex terminology to be exhaustive? That's the only way, or is there a way to still, you know, achieve the same outcomes with a different language?
Oh, look, I think it is. It just takes a bit of thinking. Often you'll find in a legal paragraph, you know, it more or less, it can say the same thing twice without it realizing, for example. So repetition seems to be a part of legal language. I think also, if you can, again, we get back a bit to the audience idea. If you can get outside of your head and outside of your profession and outside of your, as you say, look, you know, referring back to precedents and jurisprudence and all those sorts of things, and put yourself inside the head of someone who's reading this, then think about the words you're using and how you can use other words that say the same thing, that are sort of the way they speak. So if you want to look at a document or a legal document from, you know, 50 feet up, let's say, what is it actually saying? What is this thing saying? It might simply be saying you've got to pay rent by the 30th of March, but you spent two paragraphs saying that. So if that's what it's saying, then just write that. So, I mean, I know that's simplifying it, but, you know, the idea is if you can look at something objectively and from a distance and so ask yourself simply, what is this saying? And then just say that. Then look at what you've written and say, okay, are there any problems with this legally? And if there's not, then, you know, you've done a great job.
Oh, that's great. I love that. And so do you have some, are there any references that or books or I don't know, whatever lawyers could, you know, could go and check to maybe learn more about those things and be more comfortable applying plain English? Because I understand, like, from what you have said, it's about building the trust, it's about reducing problems, you know, and making that information more accessible and understandable. So there's tremendous value in that. I'm sure the audience is really getting lots of insights out of this interview, Andrew. So what if they would like to continue the conversation? What would be the best way to reach out to you, Andrew?
Oh, thank you. Well, I have a website, as I said, Andrew Pegler Media. It's P-E-G-L-E-R media.com.au. And if anyone ever wants to reach out to me, just simply email me at info@andrewpeglermedia.com.au.
Awesome. And I also recommend the audience to connect with you on LinkedIn. That's how I got to know you. And Andrew is sharing really, you know, great thought-provoking pieces of work there, which great examples of plain language kind of, translated English into a more concise English. And I really love it. I find it so inspiring, and it's at times also a little bit thought-provoking, you know, like to reduce so much text. But at the end of the day, it does make a huge difference for the audience, right? And ultimately for the professional. Is there any other thing you wanted to share with the audience, Andrew, today?
No, I guess I'd leave you with one thought. Albert Einstein once said that everything should be as simple as possible, but not one bit simpler.
Mm.
And if you can bear that in mind, moving forward in your work, it will serve you well. You need to find that line where you reduce things as far as you can, but you don't go any further. You need to know where that line is, because once you reduce beyond that line, then you're endangering what you're writing as not being exactly what it was originally. Mm-hmm. So bear that in mind.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you so much for sharing your work, your background, your expertise, mm-hmm. Such an important work, especially for lawyers, but I think at large for the way we communicate, making with the digital natives and all of that, like, imagine, we need to make it so much easier for people to understand what we're trying to say. So thank you so much once again, Andrew. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to share it with a friend or a colleague who may have an interest on the topic of clear language. Also remember that you can head over to our blog to find more articles to read, even video interviews to watch, and practical tips you can implement in your practice today. Remember to also subscribe to the Legal Creatives podcast so you can be notified when the next episode is released. And if you also want to receive those updates by email, we've got a newsletter. All you need to do is subscribe at legalcreatives.com so you can be up to date with our podcast release, our article, a production on the blog, and also to know when the next cohort starts to upskill yourself in legal design. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Have a great day.